League. Shiny Goons.
Touch them all, Joe. Yeah! Oh, beauty!
It's only game.
Hello and welcome everyone to the show that gets people talking about something else. This is Big Shiny Goons and it is episode 19. I'm your host Thomas and with me today is the lead singer in Pure Noise Records' own Bearings and also a little bit on the side of a Twitch streamer, Doug Cousins. Doug, how's it going, man?
It's going good, man. Just kind of hanging out, taking it easy. How about yourself?
Pretty good. Yeah, we were just talking about before I kind of hit record of just watching the Game one of the finals. What was your kind of first initial impression really with Tampa and Montreal?
I mean, that game in particular went exactly how I thought it would. You know what I mean? It was just Tampa doing their thing, clocking in, having a good time, just going to business, going to work, And I don't know. It's one of those things where I think Montreal's good. It's kind of interesting how they, in a normal season, probably don't make the playoffs. And but just because of the structure this year and the Atlantic not being the Atlantic, playing in the North, they get to kind of go for it. And it's been crazy watching them just going through Vegas. I didn't expect them. The North was one thing, them playing the Jets. I was like, okay. But them beating Vegas, now playing Tampa, it's like, it's going to be interesting. Tampa's definitely insanely good. So it's, I'm going to watch every game and I'll be surprised if they can pull it off, but it would be interesting if they could.
Yeah, definitely. And it's also interesting to like, sometimes recently the Stanley Cup finals have been a little bit dull, especially I think last season with Dallas and everything, there was no real like contention, but it's good to see early on the little like extracurricular post whistle scrums, like almost immediately at the get go. Just like these two teams are going to hate each other no matter how many games they play. It's just good to see that.
And it's funny too, because I was seeing that and I was like, I don't know if the refs are going to keep letting this go. And then sure enough, at the end there, a couple calls against Montreal lead to a 5-on-3. For Tampa, and one of those kind of being like a retaliatory shot back, and I was like, it's gonna happen. Like they've been doing that this whole time, but I feel like the refs are really gonna clamp down on it. I don't think you're gonna be able to get away with that in this series.
Yeah, they got the spotlight on them, kind of.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, with guys like Gallagher and just they're just kind of shit disturbers, but it's kind of what also makes them fun to watch. But yeah, I was kind of like, they're going to get themselves in a bit of trouble here, and they kind of did.
Yeah, for sure. Well, moving on from kind of more recent, I guess also recent things, that Bearings was able to announce a tour with State Champs. Are you really stoked to get back out on the road and everything?
Yeah, dude, it's so crazy. It felt like, I mean, that tour was like put together before COVID was a thing. We were on a different tour and we were like, oh, okay, we got this tour offer. Cool. It's going to be announced, at some point and we'll be out in September. And then, of course, that was supposed to be, you know, like last September. And then now here we are the next year. And it's great to just be able to go back to work, I guess, be able to go back to playing music and a bit of normalcy, I suppose. I'm a little nervous about it. You know, I'm sure the first few shows will be a little rough. We'll have to get our feet under us a bit, but it's going to be so much fun. I'm so excited just to have it back after so long.
Yeah, definitely. Are there any like particular spots in the States that you're just really excited to get back to?
Yeah, I mean, California, I'm so stoked, especially on this tour. California is, the dates are so chill. Like, the drives aren't crazy. Mm-hmm. It's really easy. We've got a couple off days in there. So I'm just obviously pretty excited for that. I love playing, you know, LA, San Diego. Just, it's always a great time. And there's, you know, the Bostons and the Chicago. We're playing Riot Fest, so that'll be a lot of fun. But just in general, we've never played Nashville. We start off the tour in Nashville. Oh, wow. We never played there. Nashville's a weird spot. It's like not a spot that you hit super often. So it's going to be cool to do that. Mm. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say. I feel like it's going to happen in the blink of an eye and it'll be over.
Yeah, because when does the tour start? In like September? Like that's like coming up. Like,
yeah, and we're on the road for over a month. Yeah. But it's like it's just one of those tours I feel like that's just gonna fly by. There's some pretty crazy drives to mm-hmm. start it off, which is, you know, we're getting right back into it. We're getting right into it with a couple overnight drives and playing some cool shows, and then it chills out a little bit as we get to the West Coast. But yeah, it's gonna be crazy. It's gonna be a good time, and it's just gonna be, you know, one of those things that after it almost doesn't even feel like I play music anymore. So it'll be nice to feel like I do again.
Yeah, just feeling like your normal self. Just be like, yeah, this is what I do.
Yeah, it's like I like Twitch streaming. It's a good time.
Yeah.
It's been really cool, but doing music, playing in front of real live human beings is always, you know, just something kind of special. Like it's not really describable. Like it's just this huge, you ride such a huge high when you're just able to play shows and do what you are kind of feel you should be doing, I guess.
Yeah, it's a good, like, just a natural position.
Yeah.
Did you start Twitch streaming during the pandemic and everything? Was that kind of a project there?
Yeah, it was sort of like I'd done it before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. But it was never something I did regularly. It was just something I do once in a while for fun. And then when, you know, that the shit show started, I was like, well, I need something to occupy my time. And it just kind of became a nice thing that I can do a few days a week and kind of build a schedule around, keep myself a little bit sane. Yeah. And also just to, you know, keep in touch and keep it going, you know, like the fans of the band obviously tune in and watch, and it's been really cool to get to know the people that support us a little bit better. You know, it's like sometimes it can feel like you might go play it, you know, you might go on a tour, but you don't get to meet everybody by any means, right? You might meet a couple people and that's cool, but it's definitely been nice to, you know, they tune in, they watch, and you get to know them and they get a better idea of who you are away from being on stage. And it's kind of been a cool experience.
Yeah. Like I feel with Twitch a lot, like I've been watching obviously more when like, during all this, as you say, shit show, is going on. And like, you do get a sense of like community, as like cheesy and corny as it sounds, but like you do get this different sense of like, oh, this person's coming back, and kind of like constant kind of communication and getting to, like you said, getting to know people. And it's kind of just a good way to, I guess, just get it out there instead of like away from the usual social media where like it's supposed to connect us but doesn't really. And then like this is more like organic, I feel like.
Yeah, I think especially Twitch streams that are a little bit smaller and everybody mm-hmm. kind of gets to know each other, I think it can be a really cool kind of setting. It kind of reminds me of like back in the day playing on like community servers or something where like you go enough and you kind of just get to know who sticks around and hangs out, and maybe you just know each other by username, maybe, you know, people in the chat get to know each other in real life, you know, and whatever. But it's just kind of a cool thing, especially during this time where we were all locked away. But now obviously things are getting a bit more back to normal, and it'll be nice to see real people again. But yeah, it's definitely been a cool thing during this time for sure.
Is there any like favorite game you play on there, just like one that you're looking forward to all the time?
Probably right. Chell. I play a lot of NHL on there. I've really committed to winning the Leafs a cup, just doing franchise mode, making the moves necessary to get us there, and it wasn't easy.
You've been in video games.
I think by the end of it, Yeah, by the end of it, I was paying Nylander like $14 million a year, just getting rinsed. Because I was like, I'm gonna win this keeping all of those guys. You know, I was like, I'm gonna keep Marner, Matthews, Tavares, Nylander, and still win a cup. That's the goal. And obviously, it's a video game, so it's a little harder, a little easier. Sometimes things don't make sense, but that one I had a lot of fun with. Other than that, though, I just, you know, Saturdays we do community games and stuff. People come in, play Mario Kart, and we'll play Jackbox games or stuff like that. And that's always a good time. Just have a couple beers and do that.
Obviously, being like such a hockey fan and everything, it's like there ever like a bond. Like I had Tim Waugh of Exalts on way earlier in this podcast lifespan, and he was talking about like getting in touch with like other bands that were like really hardcore Islanders fans or hardcore Stars fans and just like watching the games together. And he's a Coyotes fan, so he's like weird already. But yeah, like do you ever just bond over other bands like really into sports or even just hockey in general?
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes it's a great talking point, especially when you're first going out on tour with a band. Mm-hmm. You might not know them super well. And if a couple of them are hockey fans, it definitely breaks the ice pretty quickly because people will share their views like pretty. It's like one thing. The sports is such a funny thing like that. You cannot really know someone. And but you bring up hockey or, and, you know, any sport really. But, you know, if you're both hockey fans, you know enough about it. It's like you bring up that and then all of a sudden it's like that wall goes down and it's a good time. It's like sometimes a couple chirps back and forth, but it's really cool. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that's nice if we are touring with some bands that like hockey and kind of follow it closely. I know Grayscale, one of the guys from Grayscale always will send me hockey clips or he's a Detroit fan, so I feel bad for him a little bit. So yeah. I just try. I'm always like, yeah, dude, like fucking rough year for Detroit, but there's always next year, right? And then I'm a Leafs fan, so it's like, is it? I don't know if it's any better. I don't know just if it's like that. Yeah. I don't know if it's better to like be a bad team and know you're bad, or be a good team and still lose. I don't know which one's worse.
That's a huge conversation because like I feel even like I was following a lot of Senators fans this year and just like their team because they're kind of fun and like plucky and stuff to watch, but it's like I've had more fun watching the Senators than the Leafs, but I think it's just because of expectation. Like it's this sense of like they should win versus like, oh, if they win, whatever, or if they lose, whatever, like as long as it's fun and entertaining. So it's just this like weird sense of just expectation looming over everything.
Yeah, that's true. And the Sens were a fun team to watch this year. Man. I watched a lot of their games, especially when Murray got hurt. And they had these goalies just coming out of the most random places. Like dudes who played in like the ECHL where they come in and they play good. Like they're good goalies. Yeah. And you're like, that in itself is a whole other discussion of like good goalies and how easily, you know, like what, like there's no correct path for a goalie to take. It almost feels like sometimes goalies end up in the NHL and there's other guys who are just as good, but just either, you know, some set of circumstances. But they were such a fun team to watch and they're going to be good. They're going to be like really, I don't know, man, they got a ton of cap space. And they've got some really good young players. It's going to be interesting to watch them in the next couple of years.
Yeah, for sure. And before we get too deep on the hockey, Bearings released an album during COVID, Hello, It's You. And how was that kind of just experience? Like during, like, was it totally just different than normal and your previous experience of like promoting the album and everything?
100%. It was so weird because you never, the like golden rule of kind of releasing a record, especially when you're a bit of a smaller band, is you release it on a tour. You know, that's where your record is. You're good. People are going to see you. They're going to want to listen to the record. You get to play the songs live. People can get excited about it. pushes sales a little bit more. It's like a pretty big part of that record being successful is putting it out during a time where you have eyes on you. And it was kind of weird because we delayed it. And then after a certain point, we're like, well, we have to put it out. Like, we can't just sit on it forever. So it was a bit nerve wracking, you know, putting it out and not really being able to tour on it, not really knowing when we were going to be able to tour on it, just kind of sitting there being like, well, we're going to put it out and see what happens, I guess. And we're so thankful for everybody that listens to our band because it's done well and people are excited about it. And, you know, luckily we have a tour now where we get to go play it. And, but yeah, it's been so weird, especially cause it's our sophomore record. So it's like this right. record for people who don't know, like music or the music industry, when you sign a record deal, you usually sign for two or three record cycles. But the biggest, your first record is sort of like your internship if you're at like a company, I guess. It's like it would be nice for it to do really well, but there's like not a whole lot of expectation. You're going to kind of put it out, see what tours you get, see what happens, and then, you know, you go from there. But your second record is kind of like if this is going to happen, if there's going to be kind of like a moment where things perk up a little bit, like this kind of has to be it. And that's what made it so nerve-wracking. But I think I'm so happy that it's done pretty well. People liked it. We get to tour on it now. It's going to be dope. And I guess the other side of that that's pretty cool is that when you're on tour, you don't get to see how much people share it or like it, or, you know, you don't really get to see that. And we kind of just got to sit at home and see everybody share it and see everybody get excited about it, to see you know, the kind of support that people have. So that was the cool side of it, I guess. The every other part was pretty scary, but the cool side was getting to just kind of hang out at home and see, get to follow it every step of the way and, you know, see all the social media stuff for whatever it's worth, you know, but to be able to see it and get excited about it.
Yeah, there's a good on you on focusing on the silver linings with everything. Did you guys record it before kind of everything shut down?
Yeah, and it's so crazy because we recorded it in January, mm-hmm. and we were staying at a place that was close enough to the studio to walk. So we were walking to the studio one day, and our drummer Mike kind of like says to us, he's like, "Yo, do you guys see that? There's like this virus, like." There's this like coronavirus happening. And I was like, it doesn't fucking matter. There's one of those every year. It's always like a new thing. It's not going to make any difference. You know, because there kind of is, right? There's always like scares that never really turn into like Ebola. It's like, obviously it's pretty messed up. But it never like exploded into being like a worldwide pandemic, right? So I was like, it's just going to be like one of those things where it's like it's handled, it's controlled, and then we go on with our lives. And nothing really, you know, changes. And I said that to him, and he's like, "Oh yeah, true, whatever." And then, fast forward to March, we're on tour, and we get a call, and it's like, "Okay, tour's canceled. Everybody go home."
Wow.
So I guess it turned out to be a pretty big deal.
Yeah, a little bit. What was that last show like? Was it like, did you know at all, like, expect it to be canceled, or was it just totally sudden?
We didn't know. It was sudden. It was like, because we saw that a couple, I think it was the night we played our show, and then I think the next day, or maybe it was that day, the NBA postponed their season. They kind of said like, "Yo, we're chilling it for now." And we were like, and all these festivals were getting canceled, and we're like, "Yo, this kind of seems like it might be some, this might get a little crazy. Like, are we going to be finishing this tour? Like, what's the deal here?" And then, we played our show. I believe it was in Atlanta, and we got a call the next day, and it was super confusing. We were being told like the border might close and all this crazy stuff. And we had this other band that we're friends with, Between You and Me. They were like on tour with us, and they're from Australia. So then there was the whole mission of them trying to get home during the peak of all the craziness. And it just got really crazy so fast. It went from like, "Oh, okay, like that's a thing that's happening somewhere else," or, you know, maybe it's a little insane right now, but it'll be fine to, you know, like, obviously it was a big deal. It is a big deal. And, you know, it obviously has changed a lot of things for a lot of people. Our tour getting canceled is really, like, doesn't matter. It's like the smallest thing in the grand scheme of things, right? Like, people dealt with much more severe problems in that time. So I'm just happy we were able to kind of call it there. We all got home healthy. None of us ever, you know, got sick or anything like that. So I'm just happy that we were all healthy and all that.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine dealing with that, even like, just the, like, I was even sitting at home and I mostly work from home, so it's all like, it was pretty chill for me, but like still following like every hour, like, what are they canceling now? What's the update? Cause it was really when the NBA canceled and just like postponed and said, yeah, we're just pausing everything, that like, then it kind of caught real with everything. And then it was like the Rudy Gobert stuff and all that like nonsense and just like, just spiraling down, and just like everything. And it was kind of just this feeling of like, oh man, like, what are we getting into? And I couldn't imagine being like across the border away from your home, just like trying to get home with everything. But man, that's crazy.
Yeah, we were freaking out. But we're lucky we recorded our record in January. Yeah. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had a record. So, you know, it's nice that we at least got that done. And then we, you know, it went pretty crazy after that, but at least we got the record done, and maybe it helped a couple people be less bored during it. Maybe, I don't know. I'd hope, man, so.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good record. So, I mean, I hope so, but anyway, speaking on things, on people not getting bored, obviously we'll kind of dive deep. We kind of tease it a little bit with the hockey talk, but so, Doug, you're a big Leafs fan, obviously.
Yeah,
And like Toronto born and bred kind of area.
Yep, yeah, Brampton, yeah.
Brampton, nice. So like, how did you feel about their first round? Just a blanket statement.
I felt weird. Like, it's so crazy because they played well. Like, it's not like, I think some people watched the game and they freaked out because the first line got shut down. But Montreal has shut down every first line. That's one thing they've showed in this playoffs, that they can shut down lines. And I was a little less bummed once it happened to other teams. You know, it's like, you're like, wow, there was no production from the first line. And then you see them play other teams where the first lines are struggling. You're like, okay, that's just what they do. That's one thing they're really good at. They have a Shea Weber. They have Carey Price. They're going to shut you down, and they can do that. And I felt less bad about it knowing that. And looking back, I honestly don't think they played awful by any means. I think you have some pretty big mistakes that, you know, take precedent. You have the turnover there that in overtime, that, you know, it, that the game could have, you know, the series could have been over if that mistake doesn't happen. And it sucks, but hockey is like can be such a lucky sport at times. When you look at the amount of crossbars and just all the random things that happen in a game, and even Tavares getting injured. When he got injured, I was like, this is going to affect the team in such a crazy way, because he plays such a role on that team that I think a lot of people don't give him like a whole lot of credit for. But he really takes that line from being a one line team and turns it into like two very dangerous lines, you know, because you have Tavares, Nylander, and then the first line is obviously Matthews, Marner, and then I think Hyman usually slots in there on that line as well. So it kind of like turns it into like a team with two very good lines, and then the third and fourth are pretty good. And when he got injured 10 minutes into the series, I was like, that's it's going to affect it, because Montreal, and they did just now, have to focus on shutting down one line. They did that, and they won the series. And I think the silver lining in that is that Campbell looked great. You know, we have a possible starter for next year. Sandin had a couple pretty big mistakes in the series, but, you know, he really wasn't playing a lot during the regular season. So I think, you know, he plays a full season with the Leafs, he probably doesn't make those mistakes. And you know, it Spezza still looks good. He's re-signing for next year. Like I would think he's still, you know, he's not, I mean, maybe not to the same extent that he was in Ottawa, but he's still a really good player, you know?
Yeah.
And Matthews and Marner, yeah, they didn't produce, but I still think they weren't as bad as everybody paints that picture. But, you know, everyone has their own opinion, right? So it is what it is.
Yeah. Are you predicting anything drastic happening this summer? Like a major move?
I don't think so. I think that's one thing that's always blown my mind about Leafs fans, my fellow Leafs fans, is that anytime something goes wrong, it's like, okay, we need to trade this person. And especially when that conversation is like, oh, we should trade this person for draft picks. It's like, we had draft picks. This is what we got.
Right.
They're so good. Like, they're literally, how often do you draft players and all of them end up being really good? You know, like, it was almost a problem because they're expensive when players are really good. So it's like, they have the really good players. It's just building around those pieces. And obviously, I think they expected the cap to go up at some point and it hasn't. And I think, I think the NHL in general is expecting the cap to go up. They're not the only team with cap problems. So I don't know. I think they keep all the main guys, and if they can just get a couple free agent signings that make sense, I'll be happy. I don't want any more star players. I think we have too many. I think we can just get guys that'll just go out and do their job, and I'm happy.
Yeah, like you're seeing, especially with Montreal, even Tampa and everything, but like Tampa has paid those guys like Yandy Gord and those Tyler Johnsons, that contract from a little bit ago. But like even Montreal, you have like guys making nothing that are contributing like crazy. Like I know Josh Anderson got his deal and got his contract, but like Brendan Gallagher is still so underpaid even with his new deal. Like,
yeah,
just the stuff that he's able to bring, and he's scoring like at a crazy rate all the time, and like, it's just those middle guys that like help you so much.
Yeah.
That just like contribute just no matter what. Like even with the Islanders, like I know Eberle's not what he was in Edmonton with Hall and everything, but like he's still a very solid middle six winger that can get you like that. You can just play with.
Yeah.
Just like move around and whatever. And I feel like the Leafs might just be honestly missing a couple of those pieces, because like you were saying, like they have a lot of star talent. Like there's enough that there's enough of the cap kind of investing in there. If they could get like a couple deals, like, or even like, I don't know if you're a big like prospects guy or whatever, but the things that the Leafs have done so well is that they've drafted well deep into the draft this like as recent as this past year and the year before that. Hell, like maybe those guys will start to contribute, and those are like the cheapest of cheap players. So
yeah, dude, they
could figure that out. Yeah,
they have Liljegren. Like he's gonna be super good.
Yeah,
you know, and Sandin, like he obviously came in super late in the season, but he's a good defenseman. Just a couple, obviously some, maybe, you know, I don't know how to explain it, but just the discipline, I guess, just make the easy play type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe you can get away with in the AHL with a little bit fancier stuff that you're not going to get away with in the NHL. But they've got some great young players that can step in. I don't think Sandin's that young anymore. I don't know how that works. I don't know if Sandin gets – I don't really understand the rookie thing super well. Like, is there an age limit on how long they get paid the rookie contract?
It's basically 3 years if they – but then – it can slide if you're drafted out of the CHL and play less than 10 games.
Okay.
It's so like convoluted, but
so like technically in theory, could you be like 30, played in the AHL your whole career, and then you come up to the NHL and you can only make minimum?
It would be like on, so it's your rookie deal is signed after you're drafted. And then, so if you're 30 or whatever, then like, it's whatever you're just making bank on like 1 year deals. Kind of repeatedly.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, so it's basically like, I think Sandin played, oh, I don't want to look it up because then it'll take some time. But
yeah, because that's what I'm saying. I don't know where Sandin's at, or if like, I don't know how much longer he's in that area. Obviously, no one's talking about it, so I don't think it's anytime soon. But I thought he was a little bit older. I thought he was like, I don't know. I thought he was older for some reason. No, he's only 21. He's only 21.
Yeah, he's 21.
Dude, he looks on the ice. He looks like he's like 26.
Yeah, he plays fairly mature for his age. Like he, I feel like him on the power play is like lethal. Like he can just like play that quarterback, kind of like what we saw with Riley when he was like a rookie kind of thing.
Yeah.
And really get into that kind of area on the ice and kind of just skate around there. So he has 1 year remaining, which is wild that they've just burned that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying though. That's because they have Liljegren and Sandin, who would be cheap D. They're cheap D that would play pretty well. You don't have to play them on the top pairing. You put them on the third pairing, or maybe you put one on the second, one on the third, and you give them both. You give one Bogosian and you gave one TJ Brody. You know, just stay at home, safe, good defenseman. And you'd, I don't know, you feel like you'd save yourself some good cap space there, but I don't know. It's kind of crazy, you know, but I think, I don't even, what was the initial thing we were talking about?
I forget. Like, would you do anything, I guess, I think I initially asked, like, would you project anything, but would you do anything? Like, just play the young guys more and just see what happens? Because they already have, like, such established top stars.
Yeah. Like, I feel like that's the move. You bring in a second goalie who can ride with Campbell. You know, you have a two-goalie system or a one-goalie system if Campbell really shows. Well, not you can't really have a one-goalie system in today's NHL, but as one-goalie as it can be, and you ride Campbell as a real starter if he really holds up to how he played this season. But, you know, have the second guy, Justin, obviously – not just in case, like you have him and that's the plan. If Campbell ends up being super good, then sure, maybe you go that way. But I think the biggest thing for me is just no more like I seeing Thornton back would literally cause me pain. I don't think I could do it. I don't even mind him as a player, but to see him on the power play is like, what are we doing here? Like, what's the situation? Like, I just don't get it. Right. I don't understand how that dude is on the power play. I don't understand how we have a line called the geriatric line. That's just not good. Like, you can't, like, that's never a good thing if you have a line on your team called the geriatric line. Like, that's...
No, not at all.
That's not good news. But I like Simmons and I like Spezza. Just Thornton, I don't know. I don't know I don't know if that makes sense.
It feels so, like, shitty, too, because I loved Thornton when he was, like, San Jose. Like, I thought he was always my guy of, like, he should get a cup. Like, rooting for San Jose in the playoffs when they were playing Pittsburgh that 1 year was so hard. Like, just to really wanted him to finally win a cup. And now it's just, he took his one chance with his hometown team. I don't even know where he goes from here. Like, it's hard to say. Like, the idea was there. I get it. I get why they signed him, like, initially. But after seeing, like, what kind of the year off he did, because he wasn't even in the bubble. Like, that's a big thing of, like, because San Jose was out already. Like, he took a good, like, calendar year off of playing professional hockey.
Yeah.
And was playing a little bit in Switzerland, like, during the break and stuff before the NHL started. But, man, like, that stuff can really hurt you if you just slow down at that age.
Yeah, and that's again, I like his personality. I think he's
right.
He seems like a fun dude. It's just, and maybe it's just the fact they had him on the power play. Maybe it's just the fact they tried to use him with Matthews and Marner and think that was a good idea. Maybe it's just the fact they did those things. Whereas if they just left him on the fourth line, he wasn't put into any situation that was like super important, I'd feel differently about it. You know, like maybe I'd feel differently about it if he wasn't on the power play and they didn't try to use him in all these different situations. And they just said, this is a fourth line guy. He's going to be a fourth line player. He's here for what he brings to the dressing room. And that's cool. I'd be fine with that, but that isn't what happened. And it was hard to watch some nights.
Yeah, definitely. It tugged at the heartstrings sometimes.
Yeah. Sure. Well, it makes you sad, you know? It's like, yeah. It's such a sad thing because I like him, you know? And I don't want him to look lost. it hurts. I'm like, no, just get it together, Thornton. And then some games he would look really good and you'd be like, okay, here we go. You got it. But it would only be for like a game or two at a time. And then it's kind of back into the just where he makes decisions. And you kind of are just like, you know, his hockey brain is still in there. He still knows what to do. He just can't always do it.
Right.
Which yeah, it's like it's hard to watch sometimes because you're like, I just want you to be able to do what you think you can do.
Yeah, exactly. It's you just want more for him. Like he's one of those good guys that you just like. You want the best for him in the best situations. So.
Yeah. And I feel that way about quite a few. Like, I feel the same way about Anderson. It's like, I think he's a good goalie. I think he seems like a really, like, positive guy. But he just, I think he probably played a lot of the year injured. But, you know, mm-hmm. He just has moments where you're just, it's hard to believe. You're just kind of sitting there, like, what is going on here? Like, what's the situation? And, I don't know. It'd be nice if Anderson could come back and he showed that he's healthy and he doesn't want too much money. It'd be kind of cool to see how that would play out with Campbell in a two goalie situation. But I don't know if a goalie like that goes into a two goalie situation. I guess it depends on his mindset. You know, does he still want to be the starter that he's always been, or you know, kind of go back to making a couple mil a year and riding the bench for maybe half the season.
Right. Yeah, definitely. So I'm going to ask the dreaded question that every Leafs fan has probably asked themselves, especially during these playoffs. If they beat Montreal, do you think they would be here in the final?
I don't know. It's so weird because when the playoffs started, I said, if the Leafs can beat Montreal, they have a better chance against Edmonton than they do Winnipeg. And I think that makes sense. Winnipeg swept Edmonton. Mm-hmm. They looked really good. But then obviously Montreal swept Winnipeg, which is like, I would not have. If you told me like Montreal could beat Winnipeg, I'd be like, yeah, okay, sure. Like maybe in six or seven. For them to sweep them, I'm like, holy, that's crazy.
Right.
But I don't know. I don't know because Vegas is a great team and the Leafs play kind of a weird style of hockey in the sense that it can be very about setting up these really nice plays, which is so much fun to watch during the regular season. You know, these just beautiful passes that go through like four sticks and land on Matthew's stick and he just puts it right where it needs to be. But those chances don't really happen in the playoffs. It just doesn't really – it's not really a thing. You can grab guys. You can be so much more intrusive as a defenseman in the playoffs. And so I'm not sure. I guess part of me – maybe that's why it doesn't hurt as bad is because I honestly don't think I thought they were going to make the Stanley Cup anyways. I thought they get to the semis, they get to the conference final, and maybe they win it, but also maybe they don't. You know, like it all depends because there's such a mix of random things that could have also happened. You know, there's a good chance that you know Vegas making it, like Colorado not making it to the Stanley Cup final was not something I expected. You know, I mean, I guess they one way or another. That's going to be how it goes down because Vegas is also very good. But, it's just crazy. I don't know. It doesn't really hurt any more or less. I just don't want to see Montreal win because I'll never hear the end of it. That's all.
Like, do you have like Montreal fans in your life that will never?
Yeah. Like I'll never. Know? It'll just like it's like as if the last Stanley Cup was won last year. It's like as if the Habs won a cup last year. You know. Like you say something as a Leafs fans, they're like, oh, you know how long it's been. You're like, it hasn't exactly been recent for you guys either. More recent, sure, but most of us weren't alive. Yeah. Most like people yeah. like, you know, if you're in your like mid to early 20s, you didn't see that happen. Like, it's not like you mm-hmm. were like in the streets of Montreal celebrating in 1993. It's just like, it's kind of crazy. So if they won this year, it would just be constant. Oh my God. It would suck. Not, well, and it sucks because I like Carey Price. So it's weird. It's a very complicated situation going on.
Yeah. Like, if you could tune out those fans, then sure. But I feel like that's going to be pretty hard to, it would be like you said, just constant probably. And just like unrelenting reminder of cups and championships and talking about rings and 25 and whatever and
yeah.
chanting and yeah.
And especially because they could be next year's Dallas. You know, they could not even make the playoffs. I mean, it's going to be hard to make the playoffs
yeah.
here for everyone in the Atlantic. It's just going to be a shit show. It's going to be so crazy. Yeah. I mean, we just to show how good the Atlantic is, we have two teams in the Atlantic in the Stanley Cup final right now.
Right.
You yeah. know, like that is a super strong division and it's going to be a mess next year. There are going to be some really good teams that don't even make the playoffs. You know, it's going to yeah. be kind of crazy.
I think the best thing that can come out of this, even if they don't win, you know, Mark Bergevin has some like crazy ass trade up his sleeve that is going to like just shock everyone just because of how like gutsy it is
yeah.
of what he does. And just like, oh, we've been there. We can make it again and all this stuff. And yeah. he's going to try again and try really hard.
Yeah. And I mean, it's either going to be a great trade or it's going to be a trade for a dude that just happens to speak French.
Right. Yeah.
It's going to go one way or the other, you know, it's like either like this crazy trade where you're like, wow, that's going to make Montreal better. Or you're sitting there like, what is going on here? You know, it's going to be some crazy thing, but you know, obviously they've made some good decisions. They have Suzuki, which is like in itself
yeah.
crazy that Vegas just let that happen. Because he's a star. Like he's going to be, I wouldn't be surprised if he's the captain of that team one day, if they keep him around. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like you're saying about the crazy trade stuff. It's like, you know, who knows, but, that kid is insane. He's so good.
Yeah. I can't even imagine a full season of facing Suzuki and Caulfield.
Well, that's the other crazy thing about this Montreal Cup run is, they brought in Caulfield near the end of the season, and it was like, he looked okay. You're like, okay, he's very yeah. talented. But he has blended into, like, being really good despite, like, just kind of showing up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you wouldn't think that this dude, like, just showed up right before the playoffs and, you know, you'd think he's been in the NHL a while. Like, he's just that good. It's so crazy. He is just that fast. He gets great scoring chances. He's not afraid to shoot the puck. You know, so many young guys will like look for whoever else is on their line.
Right. Yeah.
And be like, oh, I don't know if I should be the one shooting, but he just goes for it. And he's so, oh man, I just can't believe the luck of that. It's not luck. I mean, it's, you know, he showed up and he's done really well, but like, how often does that happen where a dude just shows up as a rookie and makes that big of an impact?
Right. Yeah, it's definitely rare, especially in the playoffs. So I guess we could travel back a little bit and discover why you are the way that you are. So really, Doug, how did you become a Leafs fan just in general?
I don't know. Like, it's like I have a Leafs jersey from when I was like 3, so I feel like it was kind of happened. But no, I've always been a huge hockey fan. And then obviously the Leafs were the home team. And I always cheer for the home team. You know, I cheer for the Raptors. I cheer for the Blue Jays. I don't know. It's just the Leafs were the team. They, at the time, were such a cool – they've always – especially when I was younger, they had some really cool years when I was a kid where it was, like, so fun to watch them. Because I'm a goalie. So growing up being a goalie, getting to watch Curtis Joseph and Ed Belfour.
Oh, yeah.
And if, even when I was really young, like Felix Potvin, you know, it's like they just had so many cool goalies. They had so many cool players. They had Darcy that year where in that weird time where they were like, they were pretty good. They still couldn't make it happen, but they had Roberts and Tucker and they were like a tough team. You know, like you'd watch them as a kid and you'd be like, these guys could murder someone and not feel bad about it. You know, it was cool. It was fun. Yeah. They were like a tough team. And I don't know. I just always loved the Leafs. My dad was he was a Bruins fan. So whenever the Leafs would play the Bruins, those were always big nights. You know, I'd bet any money I had, which was like a toonie at the time because I was a kid, against the Bruins with him. And I'd be like, Leafs are going to win tonight. And they, it's, you know, it was a tough. I remember there was this one time I bet him this one particular time. I bet a toonie. I said, the Leafs are going to beat the Bruins tonight. And he put a toonie in and the Bruins just demolished the Leafs, just walked all over them. And I was like a kid and I was so upset. That was my only toonie. I was going to buy hockey cards with it. And he obviously let me keep the toonie. He's not an ant. He's not a dick, but he's like, but that was like, I think good preparation for what would later happen in life with a 4-1 lead in game 7, where I would learn to accept that pain rather than resent it. But I don't know. Yeah, Leafs have always been my team. I don't even know if there's a reason why. Just I think the great goalies, the tough teams early on, and then the years where they just, I don't even know, like years where they would have like no notable players, just Phil Kessel and then a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
You know, and even that was kind of fun to watch. It was fun to watch Phil Kessel just be Phil Kessel, you know? That's I don't know. It's a love-hate relationship, but I think more love than hate. I think I watch the games. I've, you know, grown up. I grew up playing hockey. I have like a fairly good understanding of the game. And even when they're playing bad, I still, you know, even like this year in the playoffs, and they're losing these games, I'm like, I'm still hopeful for next year. And it's hard to win a Stanley Cup. You know, it just is. Like, it's so hard, and sometimes it doesn't make any sense. Sometimes you have a team like the Habs that doesn't make any sense how they're there. Like, it makes sense when you watch them in the playoffs, but if you watched a regular season Habs game and you told me they'd be in the Stanley Cup final, I'd be like, there's no fucking way. That's impossible. But some teams just have what it takes. They turn it on, right? And you know, but I don't know. Love the Leafs. Love them to death. They're responsible for a lot of great memories, hanging out with friends. And, you know, I love them to death, but God, it hurts sometimes.
So you touched on a little bit with the 4-1 game. Do you have like a key memory of where you watched that game?
Oh, yeah, dude. Okay, so I was watching it at home. And I had a beer league game that night. I was like pretty, I don't even think I was old enough to play beer league, but being a goalie, you just kind of end up playing in leagues that you probably, I don't know, maybe I was, I forget. Maybe I was like 18 or something. But I had a beer league game that night, and my best friend and his dad were both on the same team as me. And so, you know, we're listening to it on the radio. I watched a bit at home, then I'm listening to it on the radio as we drive up to I think, like, I don't even remember where the arena was, but we're listening to it on the radio, and we're like, wow, the Leafs are going to win this. This is so crazy. And we get into the change room, and everybody there is Leafs fans on both teams, you know, both beer league teams. And everybody's listening. And right before we go on the ice, the score is 4-1. And we're like, yeah, we can go play our game of beer league and not give a, we don't have to care because there's no way they blow this. Like, that's impossible. And we step on the ice and we start playing. And the dude who's running the score clock kind of says over the PA, he's like, okay, Boston scored. And we're all playing. We're like, okay, that's, you know, that's whatever. And then Boston scores again. He announces as we're playing, because everybody there is our is everyone there is a Leaf fan, and we're like, okay. And then they score again, and it's almost like no one even cared about the beer league game at this point. Everybody was like, all right, like, what's the situation? So while we played our beer league game, the PA dude, like the scorekeeper guy, played on like the radio, like the radio announcement, like the whatever, over the PA while we played. And then Boston scored and no one cared about the beer league game. It was just a shit show. Oh, everybody was just like, whatever. Everyone was in such a bad mood. It was like the most depressing way to experience that, because we're playing hockey and we're so excited. Yeah, a sport we love, and like we're into the second or third period and just nobody even wants to play hockey. We're all just like, yeah, we just want to go home. This sucks. Fuck this sport. Oh my God.
That's unreal. That's man, I couldn't imagine that, going through that, really.
Like, yeah, just like
I was just, yeah.
Oh man, just like 30 dudes on the ice just looking miserable.
Yeah, like, I watched it just at home, just, like, with my sister, and that was still a miserable fucking time. Like, just experiencing that at, like, the peak of my Leafs fandom and interest, and then be like, oh, okay, this team actually sucks, and I hate them so much. Yeah. So, like, did that ever... So, I'm always curious, because, like, I... Not to make it about myself, and I'm not... definitely not at the level of anyone touring or actually producing an album, but so I went through the music program in university and stuff and studied that and did all the whole the jazz school stuff, and I kind of waned away from hockey a lot and kind of rediscovered it later on in university and everything, so I probably took a good like chunk off. Did you ever find that with like music kind of grabbing your interest more and kind of taking a couple of years off of just like being really interested in it at all?
Yeah, totally. I mean, when I went to college, when I was picking colleges, a huge part of, I almost went to a different college. I ended up going to school in Ottawa, but I was really confident because I'd played quite a few years of rep, but then dropped down as I got older. But I was like, I feel like if I go to a university or a college, I guess I couldn't have gotten into university, but if I go to a college as a hockey team, I feel like I can make it through open tryouts, you know? And I kind of thought about that when I was picking colleges, and I went, nah, it's a bit silly. There's no point. I'll just go do what I want to do. So I went and did what I want to do. And I honestly did not watch a whole lot of hockey during that time. I was very much just invested in music, invested in, just diving super deep into that, because I went to school for music as well, and it stayed that way for quite a few years, where I'd watch the Leafs once in a while, but it wasn't something I was going out of my way to do. I think I was just so focused on like, if I want to do music and I actually want to make a living out of this, if I want to do it professionally, I guess, which sounds so silly, but you know, like professionally with air quotes around it, because as you go through music, you realize it's like not as professional as you think it is. Right. It's just about hanging out and then playing songs. It's really not that complicated. But, you know, it was definitely like kind of like that for a few years. And when the thing that got me back into hockey was like, I was so miserable just doing music all the time. I was like, so just, you know, just like putting all your eggs in one basket type thing, where it's like, if this is the only thing that makes me happy, when things go wrong with this, life just sucked. There was nothing that was my own to enjoy. And then that's kind of when I looked at my hockey equipment sitting in the corner, and I was like, maybe I should start playing hockey again. And I started playing again regularly and developed like a second love for it, like fell back in love with the game. And that's when I started, you know, I started watching the Leafs all the time. I was watching it every night. Every time there was a game on, I'd be watching it, because it wasn't music, and it was something that I also loved, but just kind of, you know, forgot, you know, I guess kind of distanced myself from for a few years. But it was so just, especially playing the sport, you know, getting back out there and enjoying myself again after not playing for a few years. I went right back into it, and now it's like such a huge part of staying sane, you know. It's a huge part of like what helps me not just be music all the time. It helps me like take time away from that.
Yeah, everyone needs that kind of time to just unplug from stuff. Like when I was going through school and just like studying and all that stuff and performance tests and whatever, I always found myself listening to hockey podcasts, and that's kind of how I realized like maybe I like should really get back into this. Like my interest was always kind of a little bit in the background, but then I started like putting so much time into like, yeah, just listening, just exploring different avenues of the sport, and kind of, because I didn't grow up playing it at all, I just kind of watched with it and everything. But it's just nice to have that second thing, really.
It's so big. Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah, and that's like what I'm kind of, I guess, trying to do with this damn show, of like everyone has a second thing, a second like a little route to go down and like enjoy life outside of their normal professional world. If it's like a hockey writer that loves music and loves weird shit and albums that they want to talk about, or someone in a band that just loves fucking talking about sports and stuff. But yeah, outside of meta stuff, it's just good to have always that little extra thing that just keeps you going and keeps you like able to take a break from everything.
100%. And I also find like in the time I took away, when I came back to it, I feel like I understood the sport so much better. You know, like playing it all of growing up, I was always a goalie, and I always saw it as a goalie, you know, like just everything was kind of like, okay, like this, it's this way, you know? And then when I came back to it, I feel like I understood it a lot better. I feel like I understood, oh, okay, like, you know, when I'm not thinking of it like so goalie minded, I can watch it and be like, oh, I understand what they're doing here. Okay, this is cool. And then, I don't know, just understanding, I just found I was able to understand the sport a lot better too once I came back to it.
Yeah, yeah, that's such a good feeling too, right?
Yeah, it was it felt good to like learn, you know, to like find this thing and just like learn about it, you know, and just be excited about it. And yeah, I'm just hanging out at home having a beer watching the Leafs game, but it's my time, you know. It's like my time to myself that feels, you know, it's refreshing.
Yeah, that's awesome. We'll move on to the kind of the final part of the show, a little wrap up. I usually have the guest give a little recommendation at the end, a little book, movie, podcast, article that you read, just anything that you're checking out, a show or whatever. So Doug, is there anything that you kind of just want, and I know I'm putting you on the spot here right now, but is there anything that you kind of just want to tell the audience to check out other than Hello, It's You, available on all listening platforms? Yeah, just anything at all.
Yeah, I guess just my buddies' bands. You know, check out Between You and Me. They're from Australia. They're great lads. They're a fun hang. They're a good time. There's a cool band from Ottawa called Dad Sports. They rock.
Oh yeah.
I guess that would probably be it. Just a couple of my friends' bands that I think are really cool.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. That's it's always good to kind of discover new music, and like, I do always ask this to the guests and stuff, but we can always talk about it, obviously, at this very loose freestyle show, I guess. But is there like a way that you discover new music, or is it like through mostly just bands that you're familiar with and buddies with, or is it like a process that you go to?
I feel like it's a lot. I listen to a lot of my friends' bands and a lot of bands we tour with, stuff like that. But I also think, you know, when you're kind of in music, I guess, it's like your bandmates, you'll be in the van on like a 9-hour drive or something, and someone will put on a record and you'll just be like, ah, who's this? What's this? And then, oh, okay, cool. You know, and you kind of just get into it that way because everybody's always right. talking about different stuff, different types of bands that they're kind of into. And then sometimes it's just random. Sometimes it's like a song comes on Spotify, and I'm like, this is pretty good. Like nothing too crazy, just, you know, normal yeah. stuff. But just kind of stumble upon it, I guess.
Yeah, that's always good to hear. And just always check out those bands. And you can find the show, or I guess before I kind of close it out and before I kind of talk about my own shit, where could people find you and your stuff? You could plug away.
So Bearings, Spotify, Apple Music, all that stuff. If you want to come to a show, talk some hockey, I'm not above that. I'll, you know, let's have a beer, talk some hockey, get into it. It's always a nice part of touring is meeting new people and, you know, discussing why the Boston Bruins have been good for too long. And that's kind of it. And if you're at a Sens game, because the Sens have been playing Sway over there they've been playing Sway.
Oh,
if you're at a Sens game and you hear Sway, just let me know, because it's cool. And
I know that there's
people notice. I know it's kind of nice.
Yeah, that's so sick. I know there's some Sens fans that listen, so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, that's sweet. And that's definitely something to look forward to. You could follow the podcast on Twitter at @big_shiny_goons. Could follow, rate, subscribe, like. Click all those buttons that will really help out. And you could follow me at @NoSaladRetained on Twitter as well. Once again, one kind of final. Thanks, Doug, for coming on the show so much.
Of course, Brad. Thank you.